17 o'clock news. DAI affirms its commitment to implementing 36 ISO standards to achieve global class service. Deputy Minister of Trade, Comprehensive Trade Policy for Resilient Indonesia's MSMEs. Here is the complete details. PT Kereta Api Indonesia Persero affirmed its commitment to implementing 36 International Organization for Standardization certificates in various strategic areas to realize global-class public transportation services that are safe, efficient, and high in integrity. Executive Vice President of Corporate Secretary KAI Raden Agustinwanto Budiaji, in a statement in Jakarta Tuesday, said that the ISO certificate applied by KAI is an independent evidence that the company operates according to strict international standards. Deputy Minister of Trade Diaroro Esti said the government comprehensive trade policies have enabled Indonesian micro, small, and medium enterprises to remain resilient and continue their export activities amid global uncertainty. Deputy Minister of Trade Roro of the sidelines of the 40th Trade Expo Indonesia series of events in Tangerang, Banten, Tuesday, said that the level of global uncertainty is still relatively high. Indonesia trade policy continues to develop to support exporters, especially SMEs, in facing global risk while also seizing new opportunities. The Eco-Ground Earth Steps at Peruri Park comes with a new concept, the Langkah Membumi Eco-Ground 2025 Recycling Festival, held on November 8th to 9th, 2025 at Peruri City Park in Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta, features a new, more interactive concept incorporating sports and eco-workshops to foster environmentally friendly habits in the community. Blibli COO and CEO founder Lisa Widodo on Tuesday in Jakarta explained that this year's Langkah Membumi Eco Ground carries the theme Collaborate Action for the Earth, inviting all parties to not only discuss ideas but also work together to create real change. According to PSSE official website on Tuesday, the Indonesian Football Association PSSE officially fired Patrick Clifford and his Dutch coaching team after they failed to lead Garuda team to qualify for the 2026 World Cup. In the national senior team, Clifford was assisted by several coaches from Netherlands, including Alex Pastoor and Danny Lanzard as assistant coaches. Female athlete from Kudus Regency Finka Widyaningrum succeeded in presenting the first gold medal in the sport of Tarung Derajat for the Central Java continent in the Kudus Self-Defense Pon, which took place at the Jarum Arena Kaliputu, Kudus Regency, Thursday. Indonesians emphasized the importance of innovative and collaborative financing strengthened to energy security and accelerate the green energy transition in Southeast Asia, particularly in the Mekong River Basin, which flows through six countries. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Arief Hagas Ugresiano, in Jakarta Thursday, said that Indonesia itself also required funds to around $1 trillion US dollar for renewable energy infrastructure until 2060, assessing that this figure is still far from the needs. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Setia
Listener, in commemoration of World Food Day, we take a closer look at how Indonesia is working to maintain food supply and price stability amid the global crisis. And as many countries face challenges in ensuring food availability and affordability, Indonesia continues to strengthen national food production and resilience through various programs and international cooperation. Joining us to share more insight is Mr. Prayudi Syamsuri, the senior expert staff at the Coordinating Ministry for Food Affairs. Mr. Prayudi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So without any further ado, I would like to ask you some questions. And the first one is, like many other countries, Indonesia is also facing global challenges that affects food supply and prices. So how does the government ensure food availability and affordability for the people among this current situation?
Okay, as we know that Indonesia's Global Food Security Index, like GFSI, is 60.2 point in 2022. This is not yet very good, I think, then because we have target until 71. But in the new cabinet, it's targeting 82 points. So we hope we can get this target. You know, in the GFSI, Indonesia ranks 63rd out of 110 countries in 2022. And among West Asia Pacific countries, Indonesia ranks 10th out of 23. There are several pillars of GFSI, such as affordability, availability, and sustainability. In terms of affordability, Indonesia is quite good with a score of 81.4. This is due to the government's role in the Good Safety Net program, what still needs improvement is availability score, which has only reached 50.9 points. There is no other way, and under the Prabowo-Gibran administration, food agriculture has become a key program. Institutionally, this cabinet has established a new coordinating ministry, the Coordinating Ministry for Food Affairs. The budget is also allocated according to need to stimulate growth in the on-farm sector. We cannot really solely on foreign countries for food supplies. availability is also linked to national sovereignty and security. Therefore, government is pushing various aspects to ensure that primary food production is domestically produced and available.
Okay, so I'd like to ask another one. And so the government has introduced various programs to strengthen national food production, including new land development and productivity improvement in several sectors. So how far have these programs progressed?
Indonesian government continues to improve factors that can influence national food production. We need to convey that food security faces significant challenges such as climate change, land conversion issues, limited and largely damaged irrigation systems, and declining agricultural workforce. The lack of interest among the youngest generation in the cultural sector, etc. Therefore, the government has introduced some strategy to address these challenges. Some policies include developing superior seed variety, optimizing rice fields, improving irrigation and policies to cut the supply chain of subsidized fertilizer.
Okay, so the price stability is crucial for both farmers and also consumers. And what measures are being taken to balance the fair price for producers while keeping food affordable for the public?
These strategies and policies do not directly impact production and productivity, as I mentioned before. Therefore, it is reasonable to hope that fulfillment and availability to staple food supplies can be achieved sustainability in coming years, and President's target, for food self-sufficiency is next year, yeah. And hopefully, with consistent implementation of these strategies, this target can really be achieved the next year. If our efforts to increase production are successful, we will first use the excess production to strengthen national stocks and also regional rice granaries. And secondly, we can also program to help third countries that are facing food shortage due to prolonged conflict, or maybe we can we are considering to export to a friendly country.
Okay, and so I'd like to know that during this food sustainability, and cooperation plays an important role, especially in addressing the global crisis. And how is Indonesia working with international partners? I mean, like with other countries, is there a good relation between other countries?
International collaboration, I think, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we need to view that the food system as downstream and upstream as a system from a farmers to a consumer. It means that we must collectively improve all aspects comprehensively, yeah? Mm-hmm. Incorporating technology and innovation that continue to evolve and may amiss change. Downstream, we will continue to streamline use production factors, including land, labor, fertilizer, water, and pesticides. And then coordination function is becoming, increasingly important. Coordination between the government agency also need to be strengthened. And coordination with local government and the private sector is also necessary to address the challenges I mentioned earlier. Yeah. And beyond that, food is a global issue. So a collaboration with international institutions and also governments from our friendly countries is essential to introduce efficient innovation and technology to increase farmer production, maintain product quality, and also a streamlined distribution channel. The bottom line is that talking about food is talking about humanity, which is not limited by national, regional, and local boundaries. So we need to work together to create a world free from hunger now and forever.
Okay. And finally, looking ahead, what are the government's main priorities, especially in the food security process? Is it in building more resilient and sustainable food system that can adapt for the future of the global challenges?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we need to fuel. The food is a system. Mm. Food, a system food as a downstream to upstream system. From a farmer to consumer, and it means that we must collectively improve all our aspects comprehensively, incorporating technology and also innovation that continue to evolve change to the future.
Okay, Boy Listener, thank you so much for accompanying me in this special interview with Mr. Prayudi Shamsuri, the Senior Expert Staff at the Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs. Thank you so much for coming, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Boy Listener, as we know, the food sustainability for Indonesia is really important, and we hope for the best for all the farmers, and I hope and everyone hopes that food is reachable for anyone and accessible for anyone in all of Indonesia. And so, Voice Listener, thank you so much for tuning in to our special episode, and see you next time in another episode of VR Talk. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us always in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Saat ada bencana tsunami yang menimpa Indonesia, air sampai setinggi pohon bakau yang ada di kawasan mangrove ini, tetapi tidak sampai ke tembus ke daratan. Di sanalah fungsi luar biasa daripada hutan mangrove itu sebagai benteng dan juga penjaga garis pantai daripada pulau yang kita miliki.
Mangrove, or commonly known as mangrove forest, is a forest that grows above a swamp, which is located on the coastline. Mangrove forests have an important role and are very beneficial for the people around the coast and land. Mangrove forests can even become a safety belt for the mainland from the brunt of the tsunami, as stated by Wayan Konantara, head of the Segara Guna Glogor Carik Joint Business Group, Murah Rai, Bali.
Kalau fungsi daripada mangrove ini, setahu saya,
as far as I know, the function of this mangrove,
saat ada bencana tsunami yang menimpa Indonesia,
a tsunami
yang ada di
Indonesia, especially
tentu tampaknya
in
juga.
Of course, the impact also reached here.
Kebetulan saat itu kami melaut di kawasan
Tahura
ini.
In the Tahura area, you are right. At that time, it was receding, but suddenly there was a high tide. The water was also heavy. That's real evidence that I saw. At that time,
setinggi,
the water was as high as the mangrove trees in this mangrove area,
but
it did not penetrate the mainland.
Kira berapa meter, Pak?
It was about 4 meters
ada
high.
Sekitar 4 meteran. Itu kami juga kaget saat itu.
We were also surprised at that time.
Alhamdulillah, syukur, puji Tuhan, kami sampaikan
We confess to God
bencana itu
that the disaster did not endanger the people on the mainland,
masyarakat yang di darat,
especially
di Bali saat itu.
At that time,
that's what we see.
That's where the function of the mangrove
is, as a food and guard,
a coastline,
and
the island that we have. Evidence of the benefits of mangroves as the fortress to protect land from tsunamis is also conveyed by Ayu, a researcher at the National Research and Innovation Agency, BRIN.
Exactly.
When tsunami in Palu, for example, we got very clear information that there was no flooding in Donggala district, there were absolutely no casualties, and the damage was minimal, because the effect of the tsunami was small due to the thick mangrove safety belt there. So that's one clear proof of how this mangrove has the ability to reduce risk, reduce losses, and also reduce casualties. The existence of mangrove forests is not only as coastal protection belt from waves and sea breaks, but also has economic benefits. Mangrove forest is a habitat for various types of mangrove trees and a suitable place to live for several types of fauna and flora.
Manfaat ekonomi daripada
we have clearly found the economic benefits of mangrove forests,
di mana
where fishery resources can also be sustainable,
yang
which has an impact on the production family
and
secondly,
ternyata buah
mangrove
yang kita miliki di sini
can be used for processed food,
makanan,
meats, and also several types of medicines. Besides that, with a clean and sustainable mangrove forest, the potential can also be developed into an ecotourism in the future.
More
or less, it is an economic value
which,
of course, together we can manage well without reducing the sustainability of the mangrove forest itself.
Pelestarian daripada hutan bakau itu sendiri.
Disaster risk reduction by utilizing ecosystems is not new, but has long been abandoned. This nature-based disaster risk reduction has been revived because it provides multiple benefits, as stated by Sarifah, a researcher from BRIN. Disaster risk reduction by using ecosystems or in international platforms called nature-based solutions is not a new approach for Indonesia. It has been abandoned in the last two decades. NBS in GDPRR 2022 is strongly emphasized and even has several special forms. Why is it important? Because there are three benefits not only for humans but also for biodiversity and also for disaster risk reduction itself. If we look at it from an economic point of view, by maintaining the ecosystem for disaster risk reduction, we can save $9 from each expenditure for the development of gray infrastructure such as a track dam. It is very profitable for the surrounding community with the mangroves. The economic benefits are not only from resources but also by making ecotourism, as we see in this Tahura. So the multi-benefits should be emphasized in disaster risk reduction. Disaster risk reduction should benefit all parties, not only reducing the number of people who are victims of disasters, but also economically. And this mangrove, as we see behind us, is an affirmation in Indonesia to continue. The existence of mangrove forests around Tahura area, Murah Rai, allows fishermen to catch fish every day, unlike fishermen who catch fish on the high seas.
Kita mempunyai hasil penangkapan ikan yang keseharian
ini tidak khusus,
sedangkan kalau nelayan yang punya
lepas
itu musiman, sedangkan kita yang mempunyai ikan bakau itu tidak ada
khususnya
dan tidak ada
musimnya.
Keseharian kita bisa menangkap kepiting bakau,
udang,
dan aneka ikan lainnya yang
and full catch of the fishermen here. So, are there any rules applied to maintain the balance of nature.
Kalau batasan jumlah ikan yang kita tangkap itu tidak ada batas.
There is no limit to the number of fish we
kalau
catch.
Kalau kepiting itu ada ukurannya.
The crab has a size.
Yang bisa ditangkap.
The size that can be caught is 250 grams.
Satu ekor 250 gram yang paling rendah.
Which is the lowest. There's the other types.
Jadi
we have a size that fits our agreement.
Jaring yang kita pakai di sini tentu jaring yang kita ada ukurannya yang sesuai dengan kesepakatan kita.
And we also want to catch
mata jaring yang kita
tangkap
ikan yang lain.
And catch them.
Sedangkan kalau kepiting, dan juga
can be sustainable.
Akan mau menetas itu tidak boleh kita.
Mangrove conservation is needed to maintain the sustainability of marine ecosystems. In addition, the existence of mangrove forests can prevent disasters from occurring when there is a tidal wave of seawater. According to Saliva, preserving the nature of the mangrove forest means preserving life.
Bukan hanya bicara tentang tsunami,
we are not just talking about the tsunami.
We are
also talking about abrasion on the coast.
We
have seen the reduction in coastline due to abrasion on the northern coast of Java. The loss of mangrove
trees,
the loss of
land,
the loss of river land because the land has to retreat because the seawater is eroded like that. So strengthening the ecosystem surfaces such as mangroves or disaster risk reduction can help. For example, in the
Jakarta, masyarakat di kelompok kecil tetap memiliki lahan hidup yang baik dan juga memiliki keuntungan atas
abrasi
bisa ditanggulangi tapi ekonomi tetap berjalan.
Thus, who is responsible for disaster conservation reduction?
Ini menarik sekali ya kalau kita bicara tentang tanggung jawab. Sebenarnya idealnya adalah tanggung jawab bersama. Dan tanggung jawab bersama itu mulai dari tingkat lokal sampai internasional bahkan global. Dan itu yang untuk kesuksesan adalah adanya sinergis atau inline yang
ingin kita sering
berkebalikan atau menguatkan tidak saling menghalangi.
Idealnya
apa yang menjadi keinginan atau potensi yang ada di masyarakat juga
inline
dengan upaya kebijakan di tingkat provinsi di
it's also in line with the provincial level policies and the national level. It must be in line. Don't let the community feel that these are strong benefits for them, but then suddenly there are policies that do not help strengthen their awareness. On the contrary, for example, the government has a policy to conserve, but the community also has reasons, for example, to use the area for the economy. So it must be in line.
Harus inline.
As an environmentalist as well as the chairman of the joint business group Segara Guna Glogor Cari Ngurah Rai Bali, what is the hope of Wayan Kona Antara?
Untuk kepada
for the community, both upstream and downstream, let's work together on how to function waste and how we do not throw garbage carelessly, which will eventually end up in this mangrove forest. So that's what we hope. Let's take care of garbage together, each of us, so that the environment can be well maintained.
Lingkungan bisa terjaga dengan baik.
Indah itu kasih seperti dulu, namun baru kali ini wajahmu tampak begitu sendu. Lalu ku dengar kabar kau ingin putus darinya. Dalam hatiku berkata, ini kesempatan untukku. Ingatlah indah diriku yang sungguh menciammu sedari dulu. Sayang padamu, cobalah jangan bimbang. Izinkanlah diriku jadi kekasih yang baru. dengan pasti jangan bimbang. Izinkanlah diriku jadi kekasih yang baru. Bila kau cari harta, jangan pasti lebih dari diriku. Bila kau cari setia, lebihlah yang ku dapatkan dirimu.
Oh, diriku yang sungguh mencintaimu sedari dulu. Sayang padamu,
jangan lagi jangan bimbang.
Izinkanlah diriku jadi kekasih yang baru.
Ingatlah ini diriku yang sungguh mencintaimu sedari dulu. Sayang padamu, jangan ragu jangan bimbang. Izinkanlah diriku jadi kekasih yang baru.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
There is a unique tradition in Natuna Regency when farmers begin to harvest rice. It is called alugeyo, which is pounding rice grain to produce rice chips. So it is actually the process of making rice chips.
Let's speak Indonesian.
Magic words. Hi everyone listener, today's Let's Speak Indonesian talks about magic words. The term magic words often refers to polite phrases like please, thank you, and so on. These words are considered magic because they are relatively easy to say and can have a big impact on social interactions. So here we go, Indonesian magic words. Tolong, please, terima kasih, thank you, sama-sama, you're welcome, permisi, excuse me, maaf, sorry, bolehkah saya, may I? For example, tolong tutup pintunya, close the door please. Permisi, boleh saya duduk di sini? Excuse me, may I sit here? Magic words are necessary to be taught to children from an early age so they are able to communicate effectively and understand how to respect others. So, have you practiced these magic words every day? Let's start small to achieve big. Well, listener, that's Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Stay tuned for learning more Indonesian words for daily use only on Let's Speak Indonesian. Sampai jumpa!
listener, the island of Kalimantan, also known as Borneo, is a place rich with nature, endemic species, culture, and rivers. In South Kalimantan, rivers are the foundation of both life and economy. People of South Kalimantan use the abundant number of rivers for economy and tourism, one of which is the Martapura River Floating Market, also known as Lok Bintan Floating Market. Lok Bintan Floating Market lies above the body of Martapura River, Sungai Pinang Village, Sungai Tabuk Sub-District, Banjar, where traders would sell their goods on boats along the river. It is a bustling and crowded place. The market opens every day from 5 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Indonesian time, and is usually the busiest around 6 to 7 a.m. Some traders are open for barter, but for tourists, you still need to pay with money. To travel across Lok Bintan Floating Market, you can rent a kotok or a motorized boat. The traders of Lok Bintan Floating Market are mostly female farmers wearing tanggui, a traditional South Kalimantan hat made of rumbia or sago palm leaves. They sell handicrafts, vegetables, fruits, fish, and traditional foods such as soto banjar and ketupat kandangan. You can eat these foods and other traditional snacks right on the boat. The uniqueness of the market and enthusiasm from tourists keeps the market alive every year. If you want to try having a meal or buying handicrafts on a boat, you should go to Lok Bintan Floating Market in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. Listener, that is Indonesian wonder of Lok Bintan Floating Market, South Kalimantan.
Tersisa di sunyi malam, lamunan yang panjang setelah letih kehidupan. Ku coba pejamkan mata, tetap ku terjaga melewati hampa. Seketika kepalaku berputar seperti mesin waktu. Mencoba mengerti masa lalu. Overthinking, apa ku tak let go. Pikiran ku spin-spin, cepat like turbo. Mahu tanya kenapa aku di slow-mo. Sorry if I'm in my lane, aku tidak FOMO. Tak mengerti kenapa pikiran ku upset. Berlama di kamar ku sambil playing offset. Ku lawan imaji dalam bayi ini. Terbawa arus, udah macam tsunami.
Berhentilah berbicara, berhenti memikirkan semua. Terus
lain. Aku ada lain. Jangan sore kami, no hit on my line. Kalau mereka tak suka, itu big crime. Kalau mereka obses, itu bad sign. Lihat aku di TV, aku on screen. Call that it on the scene, come on kemari. Reality, better than reality. And if you hate me or love me, I don't give a fuck, I mean.
Today's music corner presents a song by Nabila Taqiya. Nabila Taqiya, who was born on November 21, 2005 in Banda Aceh, began to be known since she became the runner-up of Indonesian Idol Season 12. At the beginning of her career in the music industry, Nabila released a winning song entitled Menghargai Kata Rindu, or Appreciate the Words Missing You. Now she is back with a single, Terpatah Terluka, or Torn in Pain, which was released on October 18, 2024. This song presents a special collaboration with Indonesian father-son noted musicians Yofi Widianto and Arsy Widianto, who are known for their romantic and emotional works. The song carries the pop ballad genre with a sweet yet melancholic arrangement, strengthening the emotions contained in the song lyrics. The song tells about the bitterness of loving someone who already belongs to someone else, even though both of them have feelings for each other. Well, listeners, let's enjoy the latest single by Nabila Taqiya, entitled Terpatah Terluka.
Namun aku takkan sama.
Voice of Indonesia. Only in Indonesia.
Bambu gila, literally means the mad bamboo, comes from Maluku. It is a ritual where a group of men were holding a big and long bamboo. Traditional music instrument will be played during the ritual. The music is believed to move the bamboo, and the men will follow the bamboo's movement. The people believes that the bamboo has a mystical power and therefore can be possessed by spirit. During the bamboo gila ritual, the bamboo will move wildly and uncontrollably.
Diriku yang selalu
Bye.